All right. This morning, I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 3 for our text. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And this scripture says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." I want to speak this morning for a little while about Christ, the head. There are some other scriptures that I want to share with you. I'll just give you the reference and read them to you about this same subject. Because when we think about Christ the head, when we speak of somebody being the head of something, that means that he's the fellow that's in charge. His is the voice of authority. He's the fellow you want to see. You want something done. He's the fellow that if the project succeeds, he gets the glory. If it fails, he gets the blame. The buck stops here. Christ the head. Two verses out of Ephesians, three out of Colossians. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says, "And gave him," that's Christ, "to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body." This is the church. We are his body, members in particular. He's the head. In Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16 says, "Which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Then going to Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church." Colossians 2:10, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Colossians 2:19, "The head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." Now, I read all of these because they talk about Christ, the head of all principality and power. Now, going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's begin reading in verse 12. "For as the body is one," now this description that he's going to talk about here is of like a physical body. He's going to describe a physical body, which he's going to divide into two parts, the head and the body. "For as the body is one and hath many members," that's talking about your arms, legs, and so forth, "and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. The arms and the legs and the parts of the body that causes it to function, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. Amen. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ. Remember now, He is the head. We are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So, picture, if you will, for the purpose of this message today, the physical body that we have. And try to look at the body separate from the head. I think there was some television show or something, I didn't watch it, but I think there was somebody that carried their head around in their hand. Any of you ever seen anything like that? That comes to mind anyway. That body and the head, look at it as separate from one another and think with me. The body is not complete without the head. And, of course, the head is not complete without the body. Remember there in verse 17 of chapter 12 we read, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? See? Christ is the head of every man. And Christ is the head of the church. He's the head, the church is His body. Now we possess five senses. There's sight, smell, hearing, tasting, and feeling. And these five senses are centered in the head. In the head. And the eyes are for seeing. The nose is for smelling. The ears for hearing. The mouth for tasting. The brain for feeling. And these are separate organs for each one. feeling is the only one of the senses which is shared with the body. Hang on to that. What does the body feel? Well, it feels hot when it's heat, when it's hot, and cold when it's cold. It feels pain, comfort. And the body responds to the head. It responds to what the mouth tastes or eats. I am so proud of Brother Abel. That man has something that a lot of us don't have. And you congratulate him. He is on his way. He's not eating burritos anymore. Because his mouth tells his body that if I eat this burrito, your body is going to get fat. And he don't want it to get fat. See, our mouth gets us in trouble sometimes. We eat stuff and then our body wears it. Sometimes for a long time. Now, if food is spoiled and we put it in our mouth taste is going to say, this is no good. And we're going to spit it out. Because if the mouth swallows that tainted food, it's going to get down here in our belly and it's going to make us sick. So the mouth in the head is going to reject the spoiled food because it's not good for the body. Now, the body responds to what the ear hears. Somebody tells you something, your ears hear the command and it sends a message to the brain. It goes through the grid of our intelligence and results in some portion of our body obeying that command and responding and moving. And you can ask Betsy, we have what's called an inner ear. And sometimes, and some of you may have experienced this, when your inner ear gets out of kilter, you begin to stagger and you're unsteady on your feet. The legs are not responding like they should. The ear affects the balance of the body. And also keep this in mind about the ear. The Word of God enters into the heart of man, which is down here, through the ear gate. Faith, we're saved by grace through faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we're saved. Now the body also responds to the eyes. The eyes will see whether it's safe to take a step or not. It guides the feet in the walk. And the eyes can also cause the body to sin. We read in Matthew chapter 5 in our Sunday school class just a couple of Sundays ago where Jesus said that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So through the eye gate, sin can come in. So we have to be careful of the lies, what you see. Now the body also responds to what the nose smells. Or what it breathes, I should say. Genesis, as well as Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22, says that the breath is in the nostrils. Breath is in the nostrils. When man was created, the Bible says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The head breathed into the body the breath of life. The air comes through the nose into the lungs, purifies the blood, keeps the body alive. Now the church is the body of Christ, and he's the head of the church. The body doesn't have a mouth. That belongs to the head, and he's the head. So we let his mouth give us the commands that we obey. We let his words nourish us. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the word of God comes from God's heart. And he gives us his words. The body doesn't have ears, so we have his ears in the head to give us our commands and communicate it to the body that moves us into action. And the body doesn't have eyes. We're talking about the church. Doesn't have eyes. So we let his eyes guide us in the way that we should walk. We walk by faith and not by our sight, but by his sight. From his vantage point, he can see where we should go and where we should put our feet. The body can't see by itself. Now, if you put out the eyes, we studied this in Sunday school this morning, put out the eyes and the body is in darkness. There's no other organ of the body to compensate for it. If you lose your eyes, you lose your sight. You see, there's no other organ of the body that is equipped to substitute for it. The foot has no eye to see where it should land when you walk. But he has shared with us one of the senses which he in his wisdom and wise demand has deemed the most important. Now he could have given the body eyes. He could have put an eye in the end of your finger and you could see through keyholes, you could see around corners, you could see all around. But he didn't. He could have put a nose on our feet, but that would have been terrible, wouldn't it? He could have put ears on our elbows or shoulders, but he didn't. So we're not to be God's eyes. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. See how much better sight is when the head sees the sight for the body. We're not to be God's ears. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, the Lord's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Now, we're the body. We don't have ears. The body doesn't have ears. But the ones that we have sometimes grow deaf and insensitive and heavy. And it even needs hearing aids on occasion, doesn't it? And we're not to be God's mouth. It said of Jesus in John 7:46, never man spake like this man. The head is the one that does the talking. And Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. Never a man speak like this man. Jesus said in John 6:33, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They come from the head, from the mouth. And we're not to be God's nose. Oftentimes, man's lives and works become a foul smell in the sight of God. It stinks. But works of righteousness are a sweet savor to God in his nostrils. Our prayers go up as sweet incense to the nostrils of God. And I'm remembering the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. What brought about that fiery destruction of those two cities was the fact that their sin went up into the nostrils of God as a foul smell. It was full of sin. But there's one of the senses that the head shares with the body, and that's feeling. It's feeling. But what do we feel? I did some research on this, and here's what I found out. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." The body suffers. The head shares the feeling of suffering. Romans 8:17. Paul wrote, "If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Suffer with him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. "If when you do well and suffer for it, and you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." The head is sharing his suffering with the body. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 5, "The sufferings of Christ abound in us." And in verse 3 of the same chapter, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation." When we suffered, when we have tribulation, we're talking about the body of Christ. He comforts us. Now, emotion and intelligence belong to the head, and the body is to obey the commands of the head and then act as the head gives it orders. I knew a man who suffered a stroke. The whole left side of his body became paralyzed. We read a letter from our dear brother down in Mexico this past Wednesday night. Brother Craig suffered a stroke, and he has to be strapped into his wheelchair. He even falls out of his wheelchair. Well, this fellow, he had his stroke, and his left side is paralyzed. And there was nothing wrong with it physically, but the line of communication to the left side of his body had been cut off. the brain. The command center. And that part of his body was dead, inactive, unable to respond. The brain was damaged so that it no longer sent out the impulses to the left side of his body. And that part of the body had no orders to respond to. It became immobile. And soon, because of the inactivity, that part of his body began to weaken and deteriorate. The muscles became weak because of lack of use. Atrophy set in. Now, need I explain to you what happens to a church? Or, for that matter, a church member, for we are all members in particular. When the line of communication is cut off between you and God, what would happen if at the close of this service we ask you to stand for the benediction? And your ears would hear the request, but your brain would send a signal to your legs and your other joints, which you use when you stand, but your legs would refuse to obey the command. And you just kept sitting and sitting and not responding to the words that had been spoken. You know, that may be what we do sometimes to Christ. We should move at His command. We should always and constantly be in contact with the head. And the head of every man is Christ. And He's the head of the church. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. How are you responding to Christ? How are you responding to Christ? Heavenly Father, today this is maybe a difficult concept for us to grasp. But we've tried to make it as plain as Paul did when he preached it to the Christians in the church at Corinth. Maybe our understanding is like theirs. Some of these things may be hard to understand, but yet we come, Father, in submission to You, trusting You to be our head. We want You to see for us. We want You to hear for us. We want Your mouth to speak to us that our bodies may obey You. Help us to realize today the connection that we have with You and how important that connection is, the head and the body. Because if the body is severed from and separate from the body, there's no communication. It must be the head and the body to be complete. There may be someone today who has never submitted themselves to what the head says and where the head leads. And if there's one here today that has never realized their situation, I pray today that they may see themselves in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And of His guidance and His wisdom and of His word. So speak to our hearts today, Lord, and glorify Yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.